How's everybody today? Y'all sure look good. Very pretty and very handsome. Good looking group. I've got some bags over here. I've got 5 bags. We're going to tell a story from the bags, okay? Yeah. All right. And I'm going to let y'all tell the story. First bag. I want you to look in there. Reach in there. Pull one of them out. What's in there? It's silver coins, right? Okay. What do silver coins have to do with the whole story of the resurrection? Anybody know? Jimmy, you know? They pay taxes, but something else about the story. Austin? Oh, Judas. How many pieces of silver did he get paid? Does anybody know? 30. That's right. That's right, dear. 30 pieces of silver. That's what he betrayed Jesus for. He went and betrayed Jesus, and the guards came for Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay. All right, so that's one part of the story. Okay. Ooh. Here's another. Who wants to look in this one? Tell me, pull it out. What's in there? What is that? What has the cross got to do with the story today? Penny? Jesus died on the cross. He died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? For our sins. Okay, we're working our way through the story now. We got another bag here. Anybody want to? All right. Mr. Moore, right here. What you got? A nail. What's a nail got to do with the story? They nailed Jesus on the cross. That's an ugly nail, isn't it? That's a very ugly nail. Imagine the nails and they say they would use those nails over and over again because the iron was so valuable to them. So no telling how many people had the nails that Jesus had nailed in his hands and feet. Okay. And so did Jesus suffer for us on the cross? Yes, he did. Okay. Who else? All right, Mr. Drabeck, here we go. Reach in there. Don't get bit now. What you got? Oh, it's a rock. What has a rock got to do with the story? Tell me. Well, they would stone people back then, but this story today.
The stone was in front of the cave where Jesus
was. Oh, they rolled a stone in front of the tomb. That's right. So that's part of the story. Okay. All right, I got one more bag. Who wants to look in this bag? Jimmy, have you done one yet? You hadn't done one yet, have you?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to let you do this one. Now, I want you to reach in here and get the stuff out of this bag.
Nothing.
Well, wait a second. Y'all, look. There's nothing in the bag. What's that got to do with the story?
Well, I know.
Do you know? Will?
When Jesus rose from the dead and came out of the tomb.
And the tomb was?
Empty.
He arose from the dead. He was dead, and then he came alive. And he would ascend back to heaven, and sit down at the right hand of his Father. And so everybody now that'll come to him and trust him into their life, he will be their Savior because he defeated death. He defeated sin when he arose from death. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these beautiful children. We pray today, Lord, for each of them and their family. They would love you with all their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. Don't go to Kid Zone. Y'all make sure Miss Tiffany comes back in one piece. I hope you will use this card today and let us know your prayer request. Okay, John. You might have guessed that we might be talking about the resurrection of Jesus today. This passage from Luke 24 says this: "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. He's alive." Today, I want to read part of Peter's message on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and he rose up to preach. I'm in Acts 2, if you want to look it up with me. Acts 2, begin verse 22. "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross by the hands of God," because we're all guilty of the death of Jesus. Verse 24, "But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." So he wasn't held by death's power anymore. And then he quotes this from Psalm 16. "For David says of him, I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad, my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." So here, Peter goes all the way back to the Psalm 16, and he quotes this passage that it's a direct referral to the resurrection of Jesus. In verse 29, he says, "Brothers, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us here to this day. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on his throne, he looked ahead and he spoke of the resurrection of Jesus." So here, Peter's explaining it. David was just looking ahead. God was allowing him to see his descendant, Jesus, would rise from the dead. "And that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we're all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured forth this which you both see and hear. And there he's referring to, they're witnessing the miracle of the Holy Spirit in their city as God has just turned loose on that city. It was a wonderful experience. Verse 34. And it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord, and with work completed, what's going to happen? What's the next event on the prophetic clock? He's coming back. And truly, his enemies will be made his footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. Christ being the Greek rendering of the concept of Messiah, the anointing one, that he is the Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Next slide there, John. I want you to get in your mind the suffering of Jesus and all the events that took place over those several days. As Jesus fulfilled prophecy, he fulfilled Isaiah 53. You can go back and read that, the Gospel according to Isaiah. It lists there all the ways in which Jesus would fulfill that was written hundreds of years before him. The thousands of scriptures that are there that in detail outline how he would suffer in our behalf, how Jesus would die on the cross. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And what did Jesus make of the curse of hanging on a tree? It has become the symbol of our Christianity, the symbol of our faith. Something that was meant to be a curse, he has crossed out the curse by the power of his resurrection. Next slide, John. Now I want you to think today that the children got it right. The stone was rolled away. I don't know if this is the one. There's a lot of speculation as to which one it is. We can argue about all that, the ups and downs of which one. It really doesn't matter because he only needed it for how long? 3 days. How about that? Let's check into buying a plot. But I'm only going to need it for 3 days. It's empty. It's empty. I want you to see several things today about the resurrection. First of all, the resurrection is verified to us in the Scripture. The Old Testament speaks of it. Here, Peter quotes that passage in Psalm 16. There are other passages in Daniel, in Isaiah, that are direct links for the resurrection. Job speaks of that in Job 19. Direct referrals to the resurrection. So the resurrection is predicted in the Old Testament. It's also predicted in the New Testament. As Jesus himself would say in Matthew 12, that the sign of Jonah would be the sign of the resurrection. What is that sign? What did Jonah do? Come on. He was in the belly of the whale. How long? 3 days and three nights. That would be the sign of the Son of Man, as he too would go into the tomb for 3 days and three nights. So it's predicted. It's also recorded by eyewitnesses. If you want to read the resurrection chapter of the New Testament, go to 1 Corinthians 15. That's what it's all about. The whole chapter is a polemic for the resurrection. It's a defense. It's an explanation of the resurrection. It's long. It's detailed. It's Dr. Paul, the PhD, the Phi Beta Kappa, the brilliant Pharisaical mind that was redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and changed, a sharp mind. And there the Holy Spirit used him to describe that beautiful picture of the resurrection and why it's so important. Resurrection is referenced either directly or indirectly in all 27 books of the New Testament in addition to that. So when we're talking about what we call the Bible, we're actually talking about a collection of how many books? Anybody know? 66. 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. So we're talking about a testimony not of one book, but a testimony of 66. I made the mistake over the last few days of reading some atheists online and the idiot statements that they make online. And I thought to myself, at least you need to get your facts right. At least deal with the facts. I was reading this one guy, he said, Well, there's not one scrap of evidence. I thought, well, what do you call all these books? And it's not just the books in the New Testament, but was the extra-biblical books, the non-canonical books, the ones that didn't make it into what we call the Scripture, all of those that speak about the resurrection. And they're books that were written at the time. References made. All right. So it's verified. Resurrection is also validated. How's resurrection validated? Well, it launched, that empty tomb launched a world religion. Look at it, it's nothing. They're wanting to squash it out. The high priest said, well, let's take a look at it. If it's of God, it'll stand. If it isn't, it'll go away. Is it of God? 2,000 years later, is it of God? Is the power there? You better believe it. It launches this worldwide religion. And it's complemented by its sister, its foundational faith, Judaism. And we see that even happening. James referred to some things happening in Jerusalem today. By the way, do you know that there's a worldwide movement of Jews right now that are going back to the land? You know they're going back to the land? Why are they going back to the land? Why would you leave the United States, the safety here, and move your family? I got a friend, I said this a couple of weeks ago, a friend who sent his daughters to college. They're in Jerusalem. Why would you do something like that? That's nuts. Unless there's a motivating power to that. Unless something's happening. Do you know at the time of the 1967 war, do you know how many Messianic congregations were identified in the United States? And these are basically congregations of Jews who have been completed in Yeshua, who have come into the faith and have seen Jesus as the Messiah. You know how many they were in the United States in 1967? A big fat Omicron. That's Greek for zero. Nothing. Zero. Can you count them today worldwide? Can you count all the Jews that are just suddenly, think it's a good idea, we're just going to move back. Is that not a validation of what's going on in the earth right now? Resurrection is also validated by ordinary people. Now, you'll see people like the guys at the front of the line who might become martyrs, but look at all of the ordinary people who have martyred themselves. By the way, the word martyr is the Greek word martyr, which means witness. That's what martyr means. Witness. Ordinary people that give up their life. And not like these Islamic guys that they're thinking about, I'm going to have those 70 virgins, you know, or whatever number it is that they think that's waiting on them if they go blow up this airplane. We're talking about people who ordinary people, everyday garden variety, plain chocolate, plain vanilla people who give their lives for the faith. Why would they do that? Why? Literally, the resurrection, the empty tomb, turned the world upside down. What did they say we read in the book of Acts? People there said, oh, these people that have turned the world upside down, they're coming to our town. Who are they talking about? Were they talking about some worldwide corporation that was going to come in and take over everything? No, they're talking about ordinary people who had been changed by Jesus because of the empty tomb. And what does we see it in the book of Acts as Paul waltzed into Athens and he's seeing all of their false gods that they're there. He says to them as he addresses them, all the intelligentsia of the day, he addresses them and he says, well, I see here that you've even created a statue to the unknown God. Well, I'm here to introduce you to him. You see, the resurrection challenges the intelligentsia of every generation, doesn't it? It challenges the learned people. We have a saying here in South Georgia, hit dog hollers. You know the message is getting through when you can hear them holler and make idiots of themselves online. I seldom recommend that you go on YouTube something, but if you want some entertainment, 6 minutes, 46 seconds on YouTube, Stephen Colbert, who I would never recommend about anything, late night host and comedian, rips this atheist who is trying to debunk Jesus. I mean, he rips him up one side and down the other. It is great entertainment to see the faith defended by somebody that I really didn't expect to be one of the great theologues of our time. But you know, God spoke through a jackass one time. And he can still do it. Do not go away from here saying, oh, Dusty's recommending, honey, that we watch Colbert every night. You know? Okay. Finally, the resurrection was validated by silence. Ooh. Silence. All I need is to read history, the history of the day. I am a historian. My undergrad degree, study history. All I need to do is to read the documents of the day. And I have. And you know what I see? The Pharisees, who had the most to prove in that day, who could have, all they had to do to disprove the resurrection was what? Produce a dead body. What'd they have? They kept having to deal with this live body. This here, coming through walls and doing this stuff and having fish fries down on the at the beach at the Sea of Galilee, all that. That's right. Fish fries are in the scripture. Read about it. Fried chicken's in there somewhere. Huh? Now, there's silence. The Romans who posted a guard there, they sealed the stone. Guards were paid off. All they had to do was produce the dead body. Case closed. We're dealing facts. Let's deal in facts. And that's a fact. A great silence in history. But let's personalize the resurrection. As we look at that empty tomb, you see, the fact is, the empty tomb is not just a concept over here. It's a risen Lord who is in here. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. How do I know there's a resurrection? Because I know the risen Lord lives in me and lives in many of you. We've experienced His presence, the very presence of the Lord Himself, who is with us. He truly is Emmanuel, God. He is here this morning. He's not here as an invited guest. But we're here as part of Him, experiencing His oneness. We've experienced His power. We've seen as Peter in that sermon that I read to you at the outset talked about the signs and wonders, talked about the things that they've seen the Lord do, the miraculous things that we have seen God do, the miracles He has done. He has changed lives, hasn't He? Has He changed yours? Are you the same person? There's a story to tell to the nation. I'm different. And He also changed the lives of all those who went before us. The testimony of their life. Spent yesterday afternoon, part of the evening, going through some of my mom's stuff. Things she wrote. What a legacy of faith. From stem to stern. Again and again, those who went before us. How can we apply the resurrection in our lives? How's it changed the life of someone? Well, you see, once Jesus comes, there's a new boss in town. And He's boss over everybody. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He changes us. And at the name of Jesus, every knee one day is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that He is Lord over all. There's a new power that is present. That wind from elsewhere, Vance Havner called it. That wind that blows in, and you can't explain the power. You can't explain what is in your soul, but you know God has done it. There's a new lifestyle. There's a new way of making decisions, because now it's just not what I think, but we're under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and He moves us in our decision-making process. So that we're getting, I started to say outside help, but it's not outside help. We're getting inside help. You see, we become the true insider trading Mongols of the world because we're getting a word from the man himself. Because at last, how many opinions are going to matter in the earth? How many? That's it. There's a new connection that we have. We get this connection. Look around you. You wouldn't find a group like this gathered together. Look at it. Look how different we are. We're all over the board. Different folks. I mean, how could that unit, how could that come? And here you come together with people That it's not like your family, but you are family. You're in the family of forevers. That's your new last name. We're going to be together forever. And that's not just a country and western song. There's a new manual for life. A manual that has stood the test of time. And it's this collection of 66 books that tells you how to live. It's told people how to live in every generation. It hadn't gone out of style. It's the Word of God. To sum it up, it's just a new way of life. That's why in the first century, before they ever called them Christian, which by the way, that was a diminutive word, a derogatory word at the beginning, Christian, it was meant to be. Well, you're just a little Christ. Turns out it became a compliment. But before they were called Christian, that first took place at Antioch. But before they were called Christian, what were they called? Remember? People of the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So finally, the resurrection realized. He's coming back. Final slide there. Can you see that picture? Let me help you a little bit. See that picture? Got that ugly Dome of the Rock up there on the... But the Lord's going to take care of that gold thing. It's going away. But there's the Temple Mount in that area. If you look over to the right along that wall, you'll see a little place that goes up there. You know what that is? It's sealed up right now. Sealed up in the 1500s by Muslims. Because they didn't want Christians. They thought if they sealed it up that somebody couldn't come through that gate. Who was the somebody those Muslims in the 1500s were wanting to keep out of that city? He's the one that's going to come on the place where you see the guy that's holding the camera that's taking this picture. He's standing on the Mount of Olives. And guess what the Mount of Olives is? Anybody know? That's where Jesus left from, Acts 1. And what did the angels say to as they were watching Jesus ascend into heaven? What did he say to them? He's coming back right here. He's coming back to that exact spot, and he's going to walk through that gate, the gate, beautiful, the golden gate, the eastern, whatever you want to call it. He's going to walk through that gate. The Messiah, the reigning king, is coming back. He'll descend on Mount Olives, and he'll walk through that gate. So, with that in mind, now you know everything you need to know. You don't need any more knowledge. Back up to the other flat, the empty tomb. You know the tomb's empty. You know he's coming back. So what you going to do about it? It's time. It's time today to fall in love with Jesus. He is here and he's not silent. It's time to let the risen Lord use these hands and these feet and this mouth and this brain, all created by him, for his purposes in the earth. It's time to let Jesus have his way in your life. This one who has had a love affair with you since before he created you. Because you see, the scripture says he's the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord was already planning his plan of redemption, of buying you back before you ever sinned, before the world ever fell, before Adam and Eve ever made their decision in the garden that they would choose not God instead of God. They would choose sin in their own way. The Lord was already planning a way of escape for you because he loved you that much. How much would you do for your child? How much would you do for your children? Would you give your life? Would you make every decision? Would you cover every bet? How much more does your Father love you? He did not keep back his unique one and only Son, your Savior. Jesus came and died in your place on the cross. He was buried and he arose from the dead. And we have victory over sin, over death, over Satan and all of his minions, over the world system, over our own flesh, because of the power of the empty tomb. He is Lord. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to open the altar. And if you'd like to come and pray today, if you have never received Jesus in your life, today's the day. Today's the day. The Savior is knocking at your door. Won't you receive him? Maybe today you need the power of the resurrection to come in your business, in your home, in your work, in your family. Throw open the door of faith and ask the Lord, come, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today and for the power of the resurrection. We have great joy in you, Lord. The joy of knowing that we'll be with you forever. Thank you for your promises. Lord, you have kept every promise you ever made. So everyone yet to be fulfilled, Lord, we look with anticipation, and especially the one that you're coming again. Lord, now, this day, right now, I pray for everyone in this room, Lord, that we would experience the power of the resurrection in our lives. Come, Lord. Come right now. In Jesus' name. We remain in an attitude of prayer. Ask Brother Rick to take his place. Regina, our life group leaders, if you would, to take your places around. The altar's open. Come. This is your time of ministry. We continue to pray. I want you to listen to this final question for you. Do you need the power of the risen Jesus in your home, at your job, in your finances, in your family, in your life? Anybody? All right. Well, let's pray that right now. Lord, you emptied the tomb so you could come and live in us. You're alive. And Lord, I'm praying for everyone that by faith put their hand up today and said, Lord, I need the risen Jesus where I live in my life. Come, Jesus. Come with your power. Come with your change. Come with your encouragement, your love. Lord, some of us that raised our hand are feeling pretty beat up this week. And I'm asking you, Lord, to come and to restore, to fill with yourself, to encourage. Lord, some of us that raised our hand today, we're needing the healing, the physical healing of the Lord. And Lord, we're praying that you rose from the dead, that you have also defeated disease. And I pray, Lord, you would come and bring your healing. And some of us, Lord, that raised our hand today are at odds with people around us, broken relationships. Lord, I'm praying right now that you, the risen Lord, will come and restore and put back together these relationships. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today, those yellow cards, or if you have an offering to bring, the baskets are here and in the back, and we'll receive those right now. You can come and bring them right now.
Got a little thank you from the Rogers.
I'm Anthony. This is Gail, for those of you that don't know us. Annabelle's our baby. You've got the emails and stuff. And Noah's our son. He's in the back. And 2.5 years ago, when he was born, he almost didn't make it. We sent out a prayer request in faith, knowing that as soon as it got sent out, somebody read it, that the church would pray. We knew it. And this past week, Annabelle was in the ER with a mysterious fever and had a virus, we found out. We sent out a prayer request, and we sent it out in faith, knowing that you would pray. And it's never a question. It's never a, will they pray? Well, they might pray. They might not. It's always send it out because our church will pray. And it's not just our church. You're our family. And from the Rogerses and from the Gladdens, we thank you for being the hands and feet and the words of Christ to our family, to our son, to our daughter. We can never thank you enough, but just a little bit is better than none. So thank you.
God bless you.
Amen. Bless you. You can give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. Look there. Annabelle just raised her hand. Praise the Lord. Now, I've recommended one thing on YouTube. Here's another recommendation on YouTube.
Forever by Kari Job. Please listen to it, you guys. Oh, my Lord. The words to this song. I'm not sure exactly when she wrote the song, but this is on her new album.
What's her
latest
one.
Forever. And he is risen. Yeah, it's unbelievable. I listened to it this morning before I came in, and it just bust me wide open. I mean, unbelievable words and lyrics to this song. Unbelievable. It's about 5 minutes long.
And there's a testimony that we can recommend more of her stuff than we can of Stephen Colbert.
Amen.
Annabelle, you got anything you want to say? Yeah. You see, just speaking to her, do you see her eyes just went? That's the definition of a preacher, someone who talks in other people's sleep. All right, here are your instructions. We're going to share a fellowship meal together over here. We're basically going to go over there, and get things a little set up, we'll have a prayer and we'll begin over there. But we hope you'll stay and enjoy the meal with us today. It's going to be a joyful, joyful time. He is risen. Amen. Amen. Dane, anything else? They're ready? They're ready? Pray here. Okay. Kathy was whispering in your ear. Okay, they said pray now. So let's do that. Lord, thank you for your presence here today. Lord, we celebrate the risen and coming soon, Lord Jesus. We ask you now, Lord, that you'll bless the fellowship around the table. Lord, we're going to eat like kings and queens in the world today. Lord, because beside the world, we will be eating that way. Lord, we bless your name and thank you for the blessing over the food that we share together today. In Jesus' name, amen.